Hey there, and welcome to the Do Life Big podcast. This podcast is going to be your jam if you want to live to your full potential and don't believe in half-assing anything in your life. If we want to do life big, that means we've got to get out of our own way because we only have this one shot to make it awesome. I'm your host, Kathy, and I'm a mom of three whose BFF is Cold Brew, a retired school teacher turned online entrepreneur and an author. I'm loud, bold, and will always keep it real. I'm determined to live my best freaking life possible, and I'm here to help you do the same. I'll be packing this podcast with tips, motivation, inspiration, and strategies to finally get you where you want to go. And we will have a ton of laughter along the way because, let's be honest, we can't ever take ourselves too seriously, right? I'm so excited you are here with me today. Now let's get this party started. Hey, my friend, what's up? And welcome back to another episode of Do Life Big. I am so excited to have you here today. Today, we have one of my friends, Esther, here. And I am so excited that you get to listen to this episode today because she is also an online entrepreneur and she's a podcaster. And I met her last month at our live Business by Design live event with James Wedmore. And we just hit it off right away. She lives in Spain. She's going to be here today sharing all of her knowledge with you. So get ready because we're going to dive in. All right. Thanks for being here, Esther. How are you doing?
Hey, Kathy, how are you? Thanks so much for the opportunity. I'm excited.
Oh my gosh, I know. I'm so excited too. It's crazy to think that you can do all these meetings, right? Like me in Florida and you're in Spain right now.
Yeah.
I know. Amazing. What time is it there anyways?
It's 5:11.
Wow, 5:11 at night. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Well, thank you so much for being here on the podcast today. Why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself and what you do and who you help?
So my name is Esther Goldor. I'm originally from Hungary, but I've been living for the last 10 years in Spain. I started out my career in corporate. And after 8 years in corporate, even though it was like a beautiful role that I had, I could travel the world, I could help various teams in different continents. It was like a dream come true first, but then I somehow had the feeling that I could do my own thing. I want to be more of just a little piece in a huge machine that was a company with more than 30,000 employees that I worked for. So I was like, I'm ready to do my own thing. And let's not just leave it all and start out as an entrepreneur without any knowledge of what it means running a company. I also changed countries. And back then, I had no idea about what it means living in Spain, but I did some travels and I had that, you know, what you have on your holidays. And I don't know how you ended up in Florida, but it might have been like I was up at the mountain with a beautiful view to Granada and the Sierra Nevada, which is the second highest peak of Spain. And I was like, I want to have breakfast with this view, like the rest of my life. And you know, we say this when we are on holidays, like I want to stay here forever. Let's open a cafe here. And actually, yes. that was in 2012. And in 2013, I did it. I left everything. I moved to Spain. I didn't even speak Spanish. You know, as Hungarians, we learn a lot of languages. So I spoke German, English, and French, but I didn't speak Spanish. So I came here and I was like, I'm not going to be an employee ever again in my life. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to make money and I'm going to learn the language. So this is how the whole thing started. And I literally had no clue how I'm gonna do this. So it was like jumping out of a plane, as my clients say, like, and not knowing whether you have a parachute. And luckily, yeah. Luckily I did have one, but I had to hit a few trees before I landed. So first I started out working with, and I did always have a passion for languages as tools that open doors for us, and pretty enthusiastic about giving opportunities to the new generation. So first of all, to kids, but even to adults who can discover a new world and new opportunities by learning languages. So the first venture I started out with, as I didn't speak Spanish, so I had to work out what I could do in English here. So I started selling English books to children in British and American schools, private schools here in Spain, along the southern beaches. And that actually worked out, but it was physically really complicated because I had to get there, take out the books, put them back, like load them. So I was like a truck driver and delivery person, and being on my feet the whole day. So even when it worked out, I felt physically exhausted. I had all my nails broken all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Just like, ah.
Oh no, know, what a mess.
You're like, I don't want to do this forever. So in the meantime, I did learn Spanish because I ended up with a guy who, even since then, hasn't learned English or Hungarian, which is my original language. So we still speak Spanish. And I started a language school for children, physical brick and mortar language school in 2014 here in Granada. And that also worked, but I was always like running around crazy. I wanted everybody to have a beautiful, amazing experience, including my team and all the clients. And yeah, it had a bumpy start, but then it worked out really nicely. And then it got to the level where I started helping other academy owners, brick and mortar and online, running their own businesses in a way that they also have a life. Because educators, when they run their own businesses, or even when they work in the public sector, sometimes they are just living for those kids, to make it amazing for them, for those families. You create your props, you give it all, and you organize your whole life around it. And you realize when you're in it that you have to do it the other way around. You have to set those like diamond blocks, as Adi, one of my friends from BBD, says, diamond blocks in your calendar and in your life, which don't move, and then build a business around that. So that's what I do today. I help other business owners in education, mostly. So people who have after-school academies, language academies, music schools. How do you say that? In the US, it's not after school. It's extracurricular activities.
Yeah, extracurricular activities. Yep.
Yeah. So I help people who run extracurricular activities and private schools to work with fantastic systems and simple systems to make their life easy and get more life for themselves and for their loved ones. That's what I do.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's an awesome story. So that's so interesting. So in terms of this idea that you had to become an entrepreneur, like what gave you this idea? Was anybody in your family an entrepreneur? Did you see something or maybe read something or hear something that triggered the little light bulb for you to be like, oh, you know what? I should do something of my own someday.
That's actually a great question. In my direct family, like my mom and dad, they were always employees and they worked at the same place from when they finished their studies to when they retired. So that's not, I knew that that's not what I was made for, or that I wouldn't be able to have that like tranquility over those years, like knowing that yes, I'm at the right place and I serve these people and I'm happy with that. Like from the get-go, I always needed new impulse, new challenges, even as an employee. But I do have some successful entrepreneurs in the family, like uncles, cousins, and I saw them as people who had more freedom. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
I somehow never perceived the difficult part. I always saw that like, oh, they can have a coffee like in the middle of the morning because they're not at the office. I didn't see them working at 3 a.m. maybe, you know?
Yeah, so exactly,
I
right?
I had the perception that running your own business is equal to freedom, which is a nice start, I would say.
Definitely, yeah.
So that's where the idea came from. And also not just the freedom of time, but the freedom of truly being able to do things your way. Mm-hmm. Because when you have a boss, you're always, even if you are at a managerial level, you are always bound by the rules of the company or that person you are working for. And when you are running your own business, I thought that then you are totally your own boss. And only a few years after, I ended up being the worst paid employee of my own business because I was not careful enough with not making my employees and my clients tossing me around, not because they wanted to toss me around. It's because people will do to you what you do to yourself. Like, if you don't have boundaries, you just let them have meetings with you whenever they want, and you don't say, I'm not meeting 7 a.m. and then 10 p.m. because one is in Australia and the other one is in the US. And I'm like, oh, I need to please all these people because I will lose that business. So we easily become our worst boss ever.
It's so true. And I always say, you know, like people will treat you the way that you allow them to treat you.
Totally. Yes, exactly. So that definitely happened to me.
Well, it's all learning experiences, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, this is interesting. So when you decided to make this shift and you're like, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to do my own thing and become an entrepreneur, was there any kind of like resistance there? Did you have any unsupportive people in your life that tried to derail you from going after that dream that you had by any chance?
I only had unsupportive people.
See, so this is normal, everyone, okay?
Oh, totally. And it was, you know, their best intention because they are just afraid for you. They just want to hold you tight and not have you hit too many brick walls. The way I met my now husband, he was introduced to me by a friend who said he was helping startups back then, and he was like, just take your business idea to him and he will tell you how it will work out, whether this is feasible, and he will help you launch it. And so I took a 100-page business plan I prepared with some software I found online.
And that's intense.
And he had a look. Yeah. You know, when I'm doing something, I can go really like geeky about it. And so he had a look and he said, this will never work. So he bluntly said it, like after 10 minutes of looking at it, or maybe not even 10 minutes. So the number one person that was supposed to help me said it was not feasible. Then my family, my mom would still to date ask me, are you not thinking of getting a job? You know, it has been 10 years now, more than 10 years actually, that I've been running my own business. And now that it's a major success, she's like, now you got to be careful because what if you lose it all? I'm like, oh yes. My God.
Yeah.
Is this really the only thing you can you can add to it. So yeah, it took a while until I found truly supportive people. Most of the people who are truly supportive, they either have no clue at all. They just love me as a person and want the best for me. And they don't even ask about the business. They are just there whenever I need them. And others are in communities like in BBD, people that have been going through the exact same stuff. And people who get me, people who don't think of entrepreneurship as the people who just have the coffee in the middle of the morning and don't do anything else, you know? And I really appreciate those connections, those partnerships that we have in these communities. I think this is the very best support we can get. Finding a community that truly gets us, where we don't have to like hold back, where we don't only share our biggest wins, but also our biggest fuck ups. And yeah, people are there to hold space for us. That's my true like safe place as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's just so interesting because I feel like sometimes if you're new to entrepreneurship, you just expect the people that are closest to you to be like, yeah, that's great, and support you. But there's not been one entrepreneur that I have met yet that hasn't had unsupportive people. And it's just because, you know, they're not seeing the vision that you're seeing. And they're just trying to almost keep you safe, almost protect you from like failing and having it not work out.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important to really know where you're going, you know, and have that vision, have that belief in yourself, and make sure you're in circles with other people who are moving in the same direction as you. Because the most supportive people I've met have been, yes, like all from BBD. Any of my friends that I have that also have their own businesses, they're always right there to like cheer you on and, you know, ask what the next venture is and what's going on next. And they're so supportive. So, you know, it's unfortunate sometimes when you talk to other entrepreneurs who are just getting started and they let that unsupportiveness stop them. And then they just say to themselves, oh, that's stupid. This is never going to work out. Or I expected this person to support me. Maybe they're right. And then they just drop their dreams based off of what somebody else says to them.
Yeah, because they feel lonely. Like if I look around in my physical environment, there is almost nobody around me that actually gets this. I do have some friends back from Hungary who were truly supportive, but then it's the distance. They are also entrepreneurs. They are also having their struggles. So everybody's living their own story. And you might think at some point that you want that stability, not necessarily the financial stability, but to be in an environment where a lot of people, like working for a company, where a lot of people have the same experience. And as an entrepreneur, you are lonely. And until you find those circles, you might think that they don't even exist. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for me to find those circles. I went to like networking events at the start, and that was really not my thing. Or the type of events I ended up at were not the, I always felt like, I don't want to go. If you feel like you don't want to go, then it's probably because it's not the ideal place for you. But then I did find some local networks that were set up by some amazing other entrepreneurs that were weird in the same way as I was. So it's also like finding weird people who are weird in a way that you are. Yeah.
It's so true. I know. It makes such a difference. Just your circle, who you're with, it makes all the difference. Now, so you've been an entrepreneur for 10 years, you were saying. So when you look back now over those last 10 years, what would you say was the biggest challenge that you had to overcome? And what was something that maybe you learned from it? Because I just think while you're thinking about it, I just think it's important I love to talk about this because even for myself personally, when I first got started, I just thought it was going to be smooth sailing the whole way. I was that like super naive entrepreneur, like, but not me. I'm not going to have any roadblocks or bumps along the road. So not true, right? Happens to every single person. You have to go through those roadblocks and those challenges so that you can grow into the version of the person who you need to become to build your business to the level that you want to build it to. So I love to hear from other people like a challenge that they had to overcome along their journey.
Yeah, I think to me, the biggest challenge was to understand that I don't have to help everyone. I have to help those that are ready for me in a way that I perform at my best. And others, if I keep running after them, I might put all that precious energy into running after a train that doesn't pick me up. And I would forget about those that were there in my space, ready for me, ready for all that energy to be put into their projects, helping them. So it was really difficult for me to let go. As I started with a private language school, that's like, you know, especially here in Spain, but I think all around the world, when you have kids that are in primary school age, you start taking them to these classes and like English class, or maybe in your community, Spanish classes are just one thing. There is football, there is swimming classes, there is horse riding, there is, I don't know, some people take kids to religion classes. So to these people, my classes were just one thing out of many. And they obviously, most people wanted to get it the cheapest possible, and they didn't really care about whether it was the best in the world. And I really wanted to give this best in the world experience, and you can't give it at the cheapest price. So then I was really struggling with, I gotta keep my prices low to be able to keep these people, but I can't level up in quality, because then I'm putting in my own money. And I did. I sold a flat in Hungary and totally poured that money into my business. So I did stuff like that. And it took me years until I realized that I wasn't running a business. I had an expensive hobby.
That's not a joke. That's such a common thing too.
Yeah. And there is a saying from Bill Barron, and he says, don't create your prices to avoid the no from the wrong person. Create your prices to get the yes from the right person. And
ooh, I love that.
This is something whenever I have any doubt about my price conversations, or I'm going up with my prices, I actually created a meditation for me just with sentences like this. And I listen to that as a reminder. And I have it also in my program for my clients, like, listen to this before you send out your price increase email.
Oh, I love that.
Because it totally helps you remember what's the most important, that you shouldn't create your prices out of fear. Your prices should reflect the enthusiasm, the dreams, the amazing future that you are going to create together with your clients.
Oh,
and if anyone in your community right now doesn't share that dream, that enthusiasm, then it's probably not the right time for them, or they are simply not the right people to have in your community and talk to about this.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love that. And I love that analogy that you gave about, you know, I don't want to be chasing after the train and it's never going to stop for me, right? Because it's all about, you know, being that entrepreneur who's going to attract the right people to you based on you just being your authentic self. And I think sometimes it's really hard for people who have, for example, people-pleasing tendencies or perfectionism tendencies, or, you know, tend to be the control freak where they just want to be for everyone, but you're not for everyone, right? Yeah. And the sooner that you can realize that and be okay knowing that you're not going to be for everyone, not everyone is going to need your help or your services, and that's okay because you're trying to attract the right people to you. Now, did you ever struggle with any kind of perfectionism or people-pleasing tendencies growing up at all? Was that ever something that you had to overcome or work on?
I did want to be liked, and I don't think I was as liked as I wanted to be, or at least not by the people I wanted to be liked by. So there was some of that tendency. But when I faced this as an entrepreneur, it wasn't just about the factor of wanting to be liked or pleasing people. It was actually having €0 dollars on my bank account. And that's when you start chasing the bus, the train, because you're like, all money is money. Whoever takes this, I'm gonna take them on. I gotta take them on.
You're like desperate.
I don't mind if they are like totally not getting what I'm talking about. I have to take them on. But if you take too many of those people on out of that desperate place or that desperate energy that that you are now soaking in, that place or that space that those people take up takes that space away from the potential like dream students, dream clients that you could be working with. So even though I was really struggling at times financially, I had to realize that in those moments is the key is to, even in those moments, be able to say no to someone who you know isn't the right fit. And when you learn that, then you are making truly space for those people that you have to be working with. So you might temporarily say yes to those people only to, in a year or two, have to like come out with your truth and swap them to a different audience. And that's so much more difficult to like tell an audience that, like, to me, when I first realized this with the school, I was like, shit, I lied to them. I'm a, like, it was a total fluke. I don't want this type of mediocre service we are giving. I lied to them that this is what we do. We are so much more amazing than this. But yes, we are doing it at higher prices. And I lied to them about the value. I lied to them about the price. And I had to come up with my truth. And that was so painful. And that's when I first started working with other schools, because I did like an experiment. I shared it on Instagram from the get-go. I was like, I'm going to do this. I have no plan B. I'm going to raise my prices. And that was, I think, by 70% or something like that for everybody. It's not going to be like, if you were the old students, you will get this forever. It was like, for everybody, we're going to do the amazing service. Price is going up by 70%, want it or not. And we had half of our student base leave.
Yeah.
But we got to replace them with way more and way more amazingly matching families. That was the turning point for me. But I had to be at a point where I was like, I either come out with my truth and put my prices to where they have to be and put my service to the shelf where it has to be, or I rather close the whole thing down. It was so painful, but that pain gave me the strength to actually say, yeah, this is the real me. This is the real brand. This is the real service. And there were so many people who were waiting for that moment, because before that they were like, oh, I thought you were just like anybody else. And they even perceived me as, oh, at this price, this is too cheap to be great.
Right.
So sometimes the right people are like low prices to those people that are the best match might mean that your service is not up to their standards.
Oh my gosh, so true. I know. And I feel like that's something that people struggle with so much, with the whole just idea of asking people for the investment, asking people for the money, raising their prices. But it's interesting that you said you had no plan B, you know, because literally, every single successful entrepreneur that I've ever talked to says the same exact thing. There was no plan B. Like, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to work. And it can be really hard when you're in that position right there where it's like the money's not in the bank account and you're operating
it
from this place.
It definitely wasn't there.
Yeah. You're like, I like need this money so bad right now. And your mind and your brain just wants to operate from this scarcity mindset, this fear-based mindset. Just, I'll take anyone and everyone just because I just need to get a little bit of money to get it going. But yeah, it's so important that you just stay true to the type of clients that you want to work with, the quality of your business. And then when you raise those prices and you stay true to that, you know, you're operating from more of an abundance mindset. You're going to attract more abundance to you, and you're going to get more of the quality clients that you want to work with. It's everything.
Yeah. And you know what, that's something that one of my members told me. She came in last year, and so we did her finance planning, and she had to raise her prices by 93%.
It was crazy. Oh my gosh.
And she did it. And you know, it freaks me out when it still freaks me out, but I'm so happy for them. And by the way, not everybody has to double their prices if they work with me. Some people come in with great prices and then some totally different problems. But then when she raised her prices by 93%, she said the quality of the conversations between her and her clients totally changed. Mm. And it went from constantly demanding stuff, constantly wanting discounts, more stuff for free. The conversation changed to, how can we help you? You are amazing. We love you. Even when things are not going great, we are here for you. We are a community. We are in it with you. We're bringing our friends. So it's not just the actual money that you will have on your account. It's the whole, this whole community that is very different when it's people who truly care, not just about their own advancement or their own progress, but also those that are with them on this journey. When it becomes a collective experience, that's like totally a new level. Yeah.
So true. I love that so much. It's amazing. Oh man. Mm-hmm. So now that you've been doing this for a while, I know one of the things that people tend to struggle with is this, I don't even like to use the word balance, but like, almost like a, like a work-life balance. Sometimes, especially if you are doing an online business, it can be really hard to detach and step away, especially with the phones and all the technology these days. It's easy to just be on 24/7. How do you set the boundaries for yourself in terms of like, this is when I'm working my business, this is when I'm doing family time, personal life things?
Mm-hmm. It definitely helps that I share my life with another entrepreneur. So whenever
that is helpful,
whenever there is no ideal balance, balance is definitely not my word. I try to go for harmony.
Oh, I love that word. That's better.
That sounds way better to me. So it helps that the other person understands when it's something like now, you know, I'm in Europe. We are on the Next Level program with James. His calls, you know, when you put it into your calendar, it goes from, to me, like the last event, it was from 7 p.m. to 11. And you know it's going to finish at 3 in the morning because of James Ledmore.
Yes.
So when I tell him that I'm going to do this or that I'm flying to L.A. for a 3-day something to share that those 72 hours with 1,000 people in a hotel and not even to see the beach and stuff, he totally understands. So that helps a lot. But this is a little trick that I use all the time. When I think that something is going to take half an hour, I will schedule an hour for that. Like, I'm like, okay, I got to be writing newsletters. And you think, oh, writing an email is quick. And it's not, because it's like writing a chapter of a book, yeah?
So true.
So for example, even for a single newsletter, if it's something that I want to really go deep and resonate, I schedule 2 hours for it, like for an email. Or if I know that I'm gonna be looking into something that should take 2 hours, I will schedule a whole morning for that. Because otherwise it's just all piling up. Mm-hmm. And then we also have like those other small rules, like no phone at the dining table, and we stick to it, or like no phone in bed. That's something that we yeah. always struggle with. Yeah, because I like to listen to meditation right when waking up, and then also before going to bed. So but we come back again and again to those things. It's like it's not enough to try it once. When you fail, you gotta be forgiving and just saying, okay, now I'm gonna do it for real. Yeah. I also realized that my life is way more in harmony when I take time for my physical and mental fitness. And you know this, like I definitely don't work out as much as you do. But
well, it's romance, my therapy.
Yeah. But whenever I don't get enough movement in my body, I start losing the rhythm on everything else as well. Yeah.
So true.
So that's really important. And that's the one of the hardest things when you are in a difficult phase in business. Like you totally give up your gym time when you are like struggling with money because you think that you got to be working. But when you're just sitting there like a zombie, and you don't even get anything done, you are just acting as if you are doing things, it's so much better even just to go for a walk. But it's so, so difficult. I just know that when I lose that, it's going to be way worse. So I don't want to get there, end up there anymore. So that's why I like force myself. And it doesn't Yeah. even have to be like something expensive, like a walk, a run, sleep, hydration. They are way more important than how you schedule your meetings and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you don't get enough sleep, and now over 40, I'm now 41, and since 40 I feel like something has changed. Like if I don't get enough sleep, everything else is doomed.
Yes, it's so true. I used to like not get hardly any sleep. I was that entrepreneur who like would stay up so late till like 12 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I get like 5 hours or 4.5 hours of sleep at night. And then it's like, okay, first of all, it doesn't need to be this way. But It's so true. You know, so many times people just sit there and they feel like they have to be working 24/7. Like the business isn't going to grow without me. And I'm in this place of desperation. So I need to work. I don't have time to do anything else. And it is true with like the working out, just doing something to move your body to get the endorphins flowing. I mean, I never look forward to working out. I'm always like, oh, you know, like that's how I am. But I just drag my body to the stuff that's in my bedroom and I get it done. And I never want to do it, but I just know how good I feel when it's done. And that's why I always say it's like my form of therapy. You know, if I'm stressed out, I work out. If I'm feeling like sad, I move my body. If I'm angry or frustrated, I move my body. I'll get on the bike over here or do a workout, go for a walk outside, whatever. And, you know, one thing that I think it was Mel Robbins who said this one time before, a long time ago. Have you ever heard of the 5-4-3-2-1 rule that she talks about?
Not sure.
Yeah. It's a really basic thing. She was talking about the importance of, you know, if you know that there's something that you need to do and like you're trying to establish a new habit to do it, you know, like for example, say you want to get up in the morning and work out, but you're just like, oh, I want to hit the alarm and go back to sleep. She talks about, you literally just say to yourself, okay, 5-4-3-2-1, and you just get up and you go. And you force yourself to do a 5-4-3. So like, I will do that sometimes. Like, you know, sometimes you're going to force yourself, but then the whole rest of your day is better. And then you're more productive with your business when you're working and you can think clearer, you're more creative. It's a huge
You can
help.
Get so many more done and in such a better way. Like my dream about entrepreneurship is always like as if I had a magic wand and I could just go and get everything done. And when I have those days when I get enough sleep, I hydrate well, and I work out, sometimes recently I even feel like I do have a magic wand. Like things are working out smoothly, and I don't have to like push things to happen. I can really just do a little touch and it works. I don't want to act as if there were no issues. Like my VA still deleted one of my products with 45 people on it in Kajabi in October. That was a total nightmare. And I couldn't just go with the magic wand and get it back. So shit still happens, but you react differently.
Oh, that's exactly it. Yeah. You're able to handle the shit storms as they come much easier when you're doing that. Yeah. You know, it's funny when you mentioned how, you know, before you go to sleep at night, you like to listen to meditative music, or when you wake up in the morning. And I actually just recently started like switching up what I was doing before bed, because what we would do is, you know, it'd be a crazy long day and, you know, finally the kids would be in bed and we'd be done working and everything. And my husband and I would lay in bed and we'd watch like a movie, but we'd be watching these like intense, crazy, like movies. And I would I would just go to sleep feeling completely uneasy. I'd have these crazy like dreams. I'd wake up feeling like, ugh. So finally I told him, I'm like, listen, I cannot listen or watch or read anything negative or that's going to produce anxiety or fear in me before I go to sleep, because whatever it is that you're reading or listening to before you go to sleep goes right into your subconscious. So just recently I switched all that up, and I'll either, you know, listen to like a little bit of personal development in my earbuds, or I'll watch something maybe funny for like 20 or 30 minutes before I fall asleep. But man, it makes a huge difference. And getting more sleep now. Now I like go to sleep every night at 10 o'clock, which is early for me.
That would definitely be early in Spain. Here it's impossible. Yeah. And then we are thinking of what to have for dinner and where to go for dinner.
Oh my gosh. Actually, I got to come there and visit. It sounds like my type of place. Yeah. Can party all night.
You know, there is a restaurant that like we went with a friend a few years ago when we went first. And I was like, let's meet there at 9. And he was like, we can't. It opens at 10:30. What? Oh, it opens at 10:30 for dinner.
That is wild, isn't it? Oh my gosh. I gotta come visit sometime. You can come visit me here in Florida too. You're invited here too.
Come back
anytime
with me after our next retreat.
Yes, you're gonna go to that one, right? You're gonna go to
definitely. Yeah.
Next level. Okay, good. I'll be there too. I can't wait. I have one more question here before we wrap it up. And then I want you to talk about your live events that people can tune into on Thursdays. But last little tip here. Do you have any tips or strategies that you could share to help people have better time management skills?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you set timers or anything when you work? Do you block off things like, you know, on your calendar and really stick with them? Because, you know, sometimes like people just go down a rabbit hole, you know, in certain activities. And the next thing you know, the day is over and done with. And they're like, oh my gosh, I was busy all day long doing all these things that made me feel like I was actually working my business, but then I never actually did the income producing activities to actually move the needle in business. So do you have any strategies?
Yeah. First of all, I'm very careful with my time when it comes to other people choosing when to meet me, when to schedule things. Like when I started with the school, when parents would say, when can we meet? I would be like, when is it okay for you? I will adapt and I will throw everything away and I will just run whenever it's good for you. So now what I have is, for any client meetings, I only do them Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon, and Thursday morning. That's it. And if this week you can't make it, we will make it next week. I'm not freaking out anymore about maybe losing out on an opportunity with a client because I can't meet them tomorrow morning. So that's the boundary setting. And then there is another thing, which is a silly little thing. It's when there is something in your head, get it out on paper. Or I heard that from James Wedmore, that he's using AnyDo, I think. And I downloaded that app and it's just, you chuck it in, whatever is in your head, you chuck it in as a to-do
list. How do you spell
that? It's any.do. ANY.DO.
Okay.
And I started using that a few weeks ago. And before that, I was just adding things in my calendar as to-do list. And frees up so much space in my head, because we spend most of our time in with the switching between tasks and like scrolling this imaginary list, like what is still there that I gotta do today?
Mm-hmm.
And like taking that load off, it frees up so much space in my head, and it definitely makes me more efficient with my time when I'm actually focusing on one specific task, and I'm not worried about, am I going to forget about the other 20 things that I still have on the list. Also, I have my days devoted to specific areas of my business and my life, and when it's a day when I don't do website stuff, even if an idea comes up and I'm like, oh, I could just do it in 5 minutes, I could just add this link, I'm not gonna do it, I'm gonna just add it to the list. And it's a bit of discipline with yourself, like, it's not what I should be doing right now. I know that this thing is gonna move me farther away from where I'm going. And this, when you ask yourself this question, is this moving me closer to my true objective? If you ask yourself, you wake up on, you just give your mind a little reminder when you are doing those bullshit activities, that it's like, shall I design Canva images for a whole year of Instagram content? Yeah, I would love to. No. And there's a huge part of James Wedmore in it, because I hear him like, Esther, this is a VA task. Stop doing it. So it's discipline and getting things out of your head. And yeah, sometimes it's also like, most of the time, it's starting my day with the thing that I least love doing in that day.
It's like that book, Eat That Frog. Do you ever read that?
The what?
It's called Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy.
Ah, is it this,
it's all about that. It's all about approach. Doing that one thing, first thing before you do anything else. But it's so true. It's like when you're an entrepreneur, there's so many different things that need to be done. I mean, you could literally work 24/7 forever. And it's really easy to get caught up in like all the busyness and be like, yay, I did all the things. I checked it off the box. You know, look at how even making the to-do list, like check, check, right? But it's like at the end of the day, it's really only a couple of things in your business that actually produce the income and get you closer to where you want to go. And so, yeah, I like those tips that you gave. That's helpful. And I'm going to check out that app too, the Any.do app, because I like that.
Yeah.
I hate having clutter and stuff in my mind. Yeah. I can't, like, I'm that type of person. Like, if I know there's something I need to do, whether it's for business or life, I like to do it immediately because I don't like it hanging over my head. But like with the business stuff, it's good to be able to, I mean, I don't do that immediately, but it's good to be able to jot them down. Like, oh, I can't forget to do this later, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. All right. Well, now I know you mentioned earlier that you host these online live events where if you're listening to this podcast right now, they're every Thursday and they can tune in. So can you just tell our listeners a little bit about that and what exactly you do during them, what they're going to get out of it, what they're going to learn from it, and then how they can get to that actual online event, a link, and we'll put it in the show notes and everything too.
Yeah. So I'm running this event on Thursday. So there will be one on the Thursday after this episode goes live. I call it Supercharge Your Academy because I mainly work with after school academy owners, but it really works for everyone who wants to be able to generate new clients automatically and bring in new people into their world automatically. There are so many entrepreneurs, and this is mostly for those who are starting out and struggling with maybe posting each day on social media, but still not seeing actual results, or appearing on podcasts or running a YouTube channel, but not seeing real results in terms of actual paying clients coming into their world. So this is what I tackle in that event, and what you will be able to do after this webinar session is get your next 10 contacts on your list, get your next 10 paying students, paying clients into your program, because you can have amazing programs, you can give amazing service if nobody knows about it.
Right.
It's not, you're still not there where you, and you're not going to get where you are going, to your dream place that you imagined when you started with the business. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's definitely for those who have something, something they call a business, but they don't yet have an automated way of, I use the metaphor of like you have a beautiful garden and it needs water and you have to fill up your water tank. So when you open that tap, you can water your beautiful garden. And the garden to me is your paying community. If there's a tap that you are opening and there is water only dropping and you're not really able to water your beautiful garden, it will all dry out. And this is what we do. We create your beautiful garden, we create your deposit, and it becomes like a self-feeding cycle, because people who come to your world this way, they will also bring their friends. They will bring you people that are similar to them. So it starts a snowball effect.
I love that.
This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that everyone can benefit from too. Now, if people can't get on and watch it live, are they able to catch a replay or do they have to wait till the next Thursday? How do you work that?
It depends on my mood. This is funny because I normally put out a replay, but for example, this week I said to the participants, there is no replay, come live if you want to participate. It's at the time that's like early morning for US time. But yeah, if you're in my world, you will see me offering a different opportunity if you can't make it this Thursday. So just make sure you follow me, and you can follow me on Instagram, where my handle is just my first name and last name, Esther Goldor. It's difficult enough to spell so that nobody gets it right, but maybe you do.
So we'll have it in the show notes too.
Yes. Yeah. And if you want to sign up to this event, then it's the URL superchargeyouracademy.com. So maybe that's easier than spelling my first name.
I love that. And if they want to listen to you on your podcast too, fill them in on that and how often your episodes drop.
Yeah, my aim is weekly. I'm not there yet. but getting there. It's called the Education Business Success Podcast. It's on the most popular platforms. It's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. And yeah, what I do there is I talk about similar stuff than what we just did today. So if you liked it and you're listening and you want to hear more, then definitely look for me there.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been so much fun having you on the podcast today. Thanks so much for being here, Esther.
Thank you, Kathy. It has been so much fun. And I can't wait to see you like in real life.
I know, in real life. It's coming up soon. And yeah. I'll make sure that we have all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much, my friend, for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. You know I love you. I think you're awesome. And I will see you the next time. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening in. I really appreciate you choosing to spend your time here with me today. You totally rock. Hey, listen, if you loved today's episode, go ahead and tag me on social and go share this with a friend right now. Like, do it immediately before the day gets ahead of you and you totally forget. Couldn't be more pumped to be on this journey with you guys. Go make today awesome, and I will see you the next time.